All right, good morning to you. Thank you for coming to growth class this morning, and I hope you're growing in the things of the Lord and growing in revelation concerning Psalms 91. And I was sitting here reading it in my Bible and to just show you how ignorant I was of Psalms 91 and I guess God's heart for it. I noticed that I have the Amplified and the King James Version. And I noticed that in the Amplified, this is the way the Amplified says. It says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand." And then it says, "I will say of the Lord." So I had say, circle. Okay? "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. On Him I lean and rely, and in Him I confidently trust." Then the third verse says, "For then," and I had then, circle, "He will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence." Verse 4, "Then," I've got that circle, "He will cover me with His pinions, and under His wings shall I trust and find refuge. His truth and His faithfulness are a shield and a buckler." Well, what I realized in that, and I think Miss Judy and I, we've had a little bit of this kind of conversation, that for me, Psalms 91 was very conditional. I read the first verse, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say," that was a condition, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and strength." And then the next verse. And it's like I could pray the first verse, but then I needed to say, "He's my refuge and my strength." I don't know if y'all are catching what I'm saying here. Because then, after I've prayed the first verse and after I've said, "He is my refuge and my strength and ever-present help in trouble," then He will deliver me from the snare of the fowler. And after I said that, then He will cover me with His pinions and under His wings. Now, I don't know if any of y'all in this class function in that, but that to me was conditional. And I don't know if I had been taught that someplace or another, but I want to tell you, I don't see it that way anymore. So, you know, I hope, you know, you're being enlightened and you're getting revelation of what God meant when He had Psalms 91 penned. You know, I don't know if that makes any sense to you, because maybe your mind didn't think that way, but that's how I thought. Carol, you've got a comment?
Yes, tell me what you're saying, because I'm not sure I understand what you're saying.
Well, that for me to have a Psalms 91 function in my life, I needed to pray the first verse, and I had to make sure that I say of the Lord. And it's important to say, and I guess I could almost say there was some law woven in there. You know, it's what I had to do. My part played. I'm not trying to confuse anybody, but maybe I just need to shut it down right here and right now.
I understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, anything that we access from God comes by faith.
Right.
And faith speaks.
Right. But I didn't see it that way.
Okay.
I didn't. That wasn't my reasoning for doing that. That was a condition for that to work in my life.
You felt like you had to do verse 1.
You made it legalistic.
Yes. Thank you, Kelvin. I was making it legalistic. Yes.
You felt like you had to do verse 1 before you could say.
Say.
But out of faith, we say.
Right.
We say of the Lord,
right.
He is our refuge.
Right. But it wasn't in that context for me. I don't know if any of you all understand that. If you've had any legalistic areas in your life. Because then it was like, after I say, then He'll deliver me from the snare of the fowler. I hadn't even thought about just taking, you know how Joseph has encouraged us to just take, you know, if there's a prayer in each verse. You know, and just take, you know, if you can't do the whole psalm, And there would be times, I guess I'm just exposing myself right here, but there would be times, well, I don't have time to do the whole psalm. But I'm learning, you know what, you just take one verse. You just take one portion of the verse and being able to just dwell on that verse. Anyway, I think I'll just stop. I just want to say, this has really helped me. So I hope that it has helped you all in some fashion or form or whatever to see. And I know Miss Judy and I've talked about there was the feeling qualified and that the secret place was for a select few.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I'm not the only person that's kind of looked at that. And that's the secret place is for all of us. Jesus paid the price for that secret place. Because it's, you know, we've learned it's in him.
And
but anyway.
We've had no teaching on the secret place. And so we assume that it is for the select few. Because we've had no teaching on it up until this point.
Right. Yeah, when you say secret place, it's like, there's got to be a condition to go into the secret. You know, when you was a kid, you had a hiding place. You know, did you ever play that and you had to have a password to get in? And, well, we didn't call it passwords back then, but if you said the right word and all that kind of stuff. So, well, let's move right along. Let's go to chapter 4. We are discussing, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. And he titled this chapter, Consent. To come under his wings. And consent means to agree.
Mm-hmm.
You have to agree to come under his wings. You know, it's there for us. We're going to pick up on page 54. I want to read the scripture from Exodus 25, where the Lord was talking to Moses about the Ark of the Covenant. And I love the detail of this, but we need to talk about this so we can go on to some other things that are connected with this scripture verse. So if you want to follow me, you can. You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits its width. And you shall make 2 cherubim of gold, of hammered work. You shall make them at the 2 ends of the mercy seat. Make 1 cherub at one end, the other cherub at the other end. You shall make the cherubim at the 2 ends of it one piece with the mercy seat. And the cherubim shall stretch out their wings above, covering the mercy seat with their wings. And they shall face one another. The faces of the cherubim shall be toward the mercy seat. You shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark. In the ark you shall put the testimony that I will give you. And there I will meet with you, and I will speak with you above the mercy seat. From between the 2 cherubim which are on the ark of the testimony about everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel. I think one thing that stands out to me as I'm reading this is how often you hear the word mercy. You hear the word mercy. And you know it was God's mercy that sent Jesus to the cross. Man, we needed that. It was only Jesus that could deliver us. Let's go on. It says, where will the Lord speak from? From above the mercy seat. He goes on to say, that's what my ministry is all about. I'm preaching from above the mercy seat. Preaching about his mercy and grace, about his shed blood, and about his finished work. There are people who are preaching from the judgment seat. Preaching about the law, how we've fallen short. The wages of sin is death. Under the law, there is no escaping death. But this ministry is all about the Lord's mercy, grace, favor, love, and protection. Under grace, Jesus died our death on the cross. He was punished with the death we deserved for our sins. He gave us his protection on the cross so that we may walk in divine protection today. You ever listen to somebody that's been preaching from the judgment seat? You ever talked to somebody that's talking from the judgment seat? I mean, I think we all have one time or another. And the one sentence that kind of ministered to me was the very last one. He gave up his protection on the cross so that I could walk in divine protection. And I never really thought about that till I read that. And you know, Jesus made himself totally vulnerable. He had no thought of himself when he went to the cross. Because if he had, you know, it could have never been said, it's finished. You remember Jesus went in the Garden of Gethsemane? And, you know, he said, Father, if this is, you know, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. You know, I think sometimes we don't really think about that. And he sweat blood. And what was it that, I mean, this wasn't a decision that, how can I put this? I think there was agony there in Jesus. He knew. And I think probably, you know, he knew physically what all he was going to have to take. But do you know he had to be separated from his Father? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That, would, to me, would have to be the epitome of everything. He had to be separated from him. And but you know what? He had to take that and endure that because we were separated. Yeah. We were separated from the Father because of the sin of Adam and all, you know. And so that had to be dealt with. Everything was dealt with. Everything. And so even our protection. He had to be vulnerable so that, you know, we could live our life and not feel like we're vulnerable to the assault of the enemy. Or we're vulnerable to what the world may say is going to happen in our neighborhood. You know, he took that so that we could have divine protection. So any of y'all got some thoughts on that? I mean, that was a revelation to me. It was like when I read that, it just kind of stood out. Because I could believe for the, you know, I've been taught about the stripes on his back for, you know, my sickness and disease. And he took punishment for my sin and took my guilt and my shame and all of that. But I never heard, you know. He gave up his protection on the cross so that I could walk in divine protection. Any thoughts about that? If not, we'll...
Wanda,
yes, sir.
Could I back up just a little bit to the protection part? But I want something that, as you were reading this a few minutes ago, the Lord said in these verses you read that he spoke to us from above the mercy seat.
Yes.
And I just happened to, it hit me that there were two angels on either side of that. Mm-hmm. And that's where he spoke to us from. And they are really our protection. They are part of our protection, and they're there for us.
Yeah, that's a good thought.
Mm-hmm. I never thought of that before. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just
yeah.
Just
yeah. Angels were very much involved in all of this, and they're very much involved in our lives.
Yeah.
If we'll look for it and expect it.
They are, and I guess one of the things that led me think about it was that Brother Copeland was at the Branson Center of this last weekend, he was speaking, preaching concerning angels and their part, and they're there for us. And he was talking about that. But that's where he speaks.
Yeah.
He's got our protection. Our angels are on either side of there, and that's where he's talking to us from.
Yes.
So that's a provision too that we may not fully understand and use, really.
Right. And we'll get to that in a few, you know, I don't know how many verses. We will get to that. But I want to encourage you all, I always pray for this class that we'll have revelation knowledge. That this won't be just the way we've read Psalms 91 for the past however many years of our lives. And so, you know, you expect that. You expect as you're reading this book that, you know, a sentence may just jump out at you, and let the Holy Ghost enlighten you in that. Because, you know, what we've learned is knowledge affects our mind, but revelation will affect our heart and our voice. And you will find yourself, as the revelation comes, you'll find yourself, faith will rise up in your heart. And, you know, it'll change your voice when you're praying Psalms 91. You'll pray it with more authority. I mean, this is a declaration. This is a prayer. I believe all of the word can be decreed and declared. But this is saying, you know, this is mine. That's how we need to view Psalms 91. That's how we need to view all Scripture. But we're talking about Psalms 91 in this class. And so we need to speak with it with authority. Not, I hope this is going to happen. You ever read Psalms 91 with the attitude, well, I hope this? I think we start out, if any Scripture, you know, and we want that to work in our lives, and we're talking to God about it. But then there's a place when revelation comes, you move over from hoping to I know. Okay? Let's go on. There's another verse at the bottom. It says, but Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and she looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And it was just like in Exodus 25. God does not miss any detail. Do you realize how detailed God is? I mean, it's exactly how we just read in 25. It says, do you know what Mary saw as she looked into the tomb? She saw the substance of the Ark of the Covenant. Just as there were two cherubim or angels on the mercy seat, there were two angels sitting where Jesus had lain, one at the head, the other at the feet. And he gave his personal opinion that he thought was the archangels, Michael and Gabriel. It was an empty tomb that our Savior was laid in after he had paid the full price for our sins with his own blood. Today this tomb remains empty because all our sins are forgiven and our Lord is risen. Our hope, confidence, assurance of salvation are found in the nail-pierced hands of our resurrected Savior. The mercy seat is a picture of the throne of grace. And I want to read you Hebrews 4:16. Probably most of you can quote that verse, but I like how the Amplified says it. Let us then fearlessly, confidently, and boldly draw near to the throne of grace. And I can say that. Why can we do that? Because our sins are forgiven. They were taken care of at the cross. So we can boldly go before the throne. And you know what? Well, let me go on. The throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we can receive mercy for our failures, and we find grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help, well-timed help, coming just when we need it. Because we realize that we go before the throne of God, we're going before mercy, not judgment. Mercy, not judgment. And this is why I believe, you know, I've heard different ministers say this, that before Jesus' return, you know, there has to be a revelation of God's grace to the body of Christ, and then it'll be to the world. But the body of Christ has got to have a revelation of God's grace, because there is still teaching of judgment. There is still teaching of judgment. Now, probably we don't listen to any of it, but there is still teaching of judgment. There are churches that are still teaching that. And so there has to be a revelation that, you know, God speaks to us from the mercy seat, not the place of judgment. Okay? This last sentence says, that is where we want to be, at the throne of grace, under the protective covering of his feathers and his wings. And this is the assurance that the empty tomb provides. The tomb is empty. Jesus paid the price. You know, he was the substance of the Ark of the Covenant. I'm not going to read it's a great praise report, about the husband, the two different accidents they were in, except for the last chapter, and I really like this. Truly, there's no safer place in the universe than under the protective shelter of our Savior's kings. When fear wants to come to you, you can say there's no safer place in the universe except under the wings of the Most High God or the Savior's wings, or, you know, you take that scripture verse. What blessed assurance we can have today, knowing that even if destruction rages around us, there is always refuge and comfort in the Lord, our unfailing peace, protection, and supply. You know what? God really wants us to have a revelation of this. Not just a knowing of it. I mean, only God knows what's going to come on the earth. I mean, haven't we seen things that we never thought? I've seen and heard of some things that I never thought I would see or hear. Let's skip on over to page 58, Gathered Under His Wings. There's another beautiful picture hidden in verse 4 of Psalms 91. This is probably my favorite part of verse 4. It's a picture of a mother hen protecting her chicks. The gospel's record records how the Lord Jesus looked at Jerusalem and lamented. He said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing." You know, he expounds on that, and I think we need to hear that. He goes on to say, "See, your house is left to you desolate." You know, when I read that, I feel the Father's love. I think Psalms 91, just like all the rest of the word, but because we're talking about Psalms 91, is such an expression of God's love for us. And that's something that I think that's lacking in the body of Christ, is a real revelation of how much God loves us. Personally, individually, just personally. And I believe that's another revelation that's coming forth to the body of Christ, because how can we give away what we don't have? And there's a lot of people in the world that aren't saved, but one reason they're not saved could be they don't believe God loves them, because they've been taught God's judgment. And so they have a revelation. You can have a negative revelation too. They have a revelation in their heart that God's mad at them. And you know, you can believe a lie long enough that it becomes the truth to you. But God's love draws all men into repentance. And it's not our love so much for Him. Sometimes we major on that and minor on His love for us, but it's really the other way. It's His love for us that is so important. And so when I read that, I said, that's God's love speaking there. How I've longed to take you and put you under my wings. Let's go on. Later, Luke records how Jesus wept over Jerusalem, saying, "For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." The Greek word for wept in verse 41 is K-L-A-I-O, and it means to be so affected emotionally as to sob and wail aloud. Now listen to that. I always read Jesus wept. Well, a few little tears. He wept. But in the Greek, it means to be so affected emotionally as to sob and wail aloud. Now, does that not put a different picture on that? You know what? Have you ever heard? There's one time in the Bible that said that Jesus wept. You know, did you ever hear that? I guess I heard that growing up. Mm-hmm. There's only one time in the Bible that Jesus wept. And so, but I didn't understand the magnitude of it. Can you see the Lord's tender mercies toward Israel as He shed much tears over her? He wished that He could gather Israel under His feathers as a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But Israel rejected him. You know, just a thought. Do you think it's possible to accept Jesus into your heart as your Savior, but then live your life rejecting His love because you feel like you're not worth it? And that comes from the lies of the enemy. The Lord cannot force His protection on them because they were not willing to accept it. I believe that as the Lord wept, He foresaw not only the Roman siege of Jerusalem when the temple was burned to the ground and many of the Jews killed or sold as slaves, but He also foresaw the horrors of the Holocaust. Isn't that an interesting statement? Notice that the Lord said, "But you're not willing." This clearly tells us that the Lord will not force on us His protection if we're not willing to come under His wings. Beloved, are you willing to have the Lord Jesus protect you and your family today? Are you willing to take Him as your refuge? Then tell Him, let's never take our Lord's protection for granted. Instead, let's take time daily to let Him know that we're putting our trust in Him for His covering and protection. Then I wrote this little sentence in here, and then I'll let you all share some if you want. I put, do some people not receive His protection because they don't think they're good enough? Any comments?
In this Luke passage that you read on page 58, it says, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Mm-hmm. So there's those people who think they know it all. And that's kind of what Jesus bumped up against there is, this, you know, they thought they had everything from God. They were His chosen people.
Yeah, that's true.
Other people were dogs. They were the chosen ones. And so they didn't have ears to hear. But all of that destruction could have been, according to this, that could have all been avoided mm-hmm. if they had ears to hear.
Yeah.
Not one stone left upon the stone. Of course, we know by history that's exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm. Because you did not know the time of your visitation.
So you got people that think they know it all. And on the other corner, on the other side, you got people that think they're so awful. You got people think they're so good, and then you got people who think they're so awful
yes.
that that God's grace can't cover that.
Yes.
People who don't need God's grace, and people who
that's kind of yeah.
People trying to earn it.
Yeah, people trying to earn
it. Both ends.
Yes. And we do have to realize, remind ourselves, we do have an enemy.
Yes.
That lies.
Biggest word I see here is willing.
Mm-hmm.
You're willing. And that's a matter of the heart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure is. It's a matter of.
Scripture I keep hearing, if you're willing and obedient. But so many people want to be obedient and think, well, I got it, because I'm doing. But if you're not willing, that's first. Yeah. And that's a heart change.
Yeah. And sometimes we put our trust in our obedience.
Yeah.
Yes.
When you should be looking to your heart.
Yeah.
That it's given to me freely. I can earn it. I just thank God for it. So faith speaks on this wise, I say of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Well, this last paragraph is thought-provoking, you know, about not taking the Lord's protection for granted.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know what? God above all else, he deals with the heart all the time. You know, I've said before that any time that I have an opportunity to minister, you know, I spend time in the Word and I study, and I get that, but I'm telling you what, God will deal with my heart more than he will what I'm going to speak. He deals with my heart. I'll pray, you know. You spend a lot of time praying there and all. And he just... So here, we're listening. We're in a class together. You know, we would be foolish to think that God's not going to deal with our heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, for one thing. So, you know, what is our attitude about divine protection?
I don't believe it's a reality to most Christian people.
I think you're right. That's why... Go ahead, Gene.
No, I'm just saying that, you know, as you study this, it does become a reality to you to an extent. But, I mean, you've got to... If you don't believe it or you don't understand it, then you can't expect to have it. So you don't, because everything is by faith. Mm-hmm. And if you're not taught, I mean, you know, I know that I was taught what I was taught before I came here. Mm-hmm. But there's so much more that was never taught.
Yes.
And if you get in, you can dig it out yourself. I know that. But the reality is, if you don't believe it, or you don't think it, then you're not going to dig it out because it's not relevant to you.
Yeah. You know, as I was reading this today, you're talking about digging it out. As I was reading this, you know, in this book today, and whether it would be a book by Kenneth Copeland or Jerry Savelle or anybody. But you know what? This didn't come easy. I mean, this is hours and hours and hours of digging and hours of studying, you know, for our benefit. You know, I see it as people that are gifted to do this. It's a real gift from God. Now, that doesn't mean we don't take it. And, you know, and I think one thing we do as Christians is we have aha moments. And I'll explain that. We'll take something. We'll hear it from the pulpit Sunday mornings. We'll hear it when we listen to somebody. And, you know, but we have an aha moment, but we don't stay there. I heard, what is her name, Caroline Leaf? I don't listen to her much, but I listened to her a little bit this past week. And she says that if you don't do something with what you learn within 24 to 36 hours, it'll be gone. So, you know, I think that's why we're spending some time here. You know, we're not spinning our wheels. We're letting it become a part of it. And I think that that's why, you know, some messages, if it hits your heart, touches you, you know, you need to spend some time there. Let it, you know, take what somebody else has taught and let God take it and you dig a little deeper. You dig a little deeper with it and let it become a part of you and, you know, and you're able to speak it out. So this part right here, it said, you know, the Lord said, but you were not willing. And then he says, let's never take our Lord's protection for granted. Instead, let's take time daily to let him know that we're putting our trust in him for his covering and protection. You know, I mean, that's some instruction there. Let it be a part of your day. But, you know, you got to let the Holy Ghost lead you. You know, you don't take it. You don't make a law out of it. Because God knows where each one of us individually are at in this room. And he knows, you know, what's down the road as far as... And, you know, and what's down the road is because of where man's at today. And the return of Jesus.
I think one big hindrance to the body of Christ today is there's not enough teaching on the Holy Ghost. We hear a lot about Jesus. We hear a lot about God the Father. But overall, there's not enough teaching on the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, that one, that is one, is if you find some teaching, you know, on the Holy Ghost, if you want, and, you know, that kind of thing. And I agree with you, Judy, because I'll tell you what, you know what, remember the class we had where we talked about, you know, the different aspects of the benefits of praying in the Holy Ghost and what it would do for us. And one was the repairing, you know, building ourselves up, edifying ourselves, the repairing of our body and so on and so forth. Well, you know, that was a truth that, you know, people, you know, y'all received, and it was revelation and whatever. But, you know, I'll tell you what I did with it. I did it for a little while, and then I just kind of laid it down. But I want you to know, the Holy Ghost brought me back around to it and said to it. So see, Judy, you know, that's just like everything. The teaching on the Holy Ghost, you know, whether it's teaching on healing, you know, or Jesus, you know, it comes, and it depends. You have to keep bringing yourself back to those places. Or let the Holy Ghost bring you back to those places. And I mean, really, and I'll just say this one thing. And the Lord, basically, he convicted me, and he said, this was not something, this is not an option, this is a lifestyle. That's basically what he put it with me. He added something else to it, but he said, praying and releasing your faith for healing and restoring and deliverance taking place in your body. But see, that's for me personally. You know, you have to let him talk to you however you need it. For somebody else, it may need be, you know, I want you to stay in there and get a revelation on the blood of Jesus. You know. So I just encourage you to just listen to the Holy Ghost. And Judy, if you've got a hunger for wanting to know more teaching about the Holy Spirit, then, you know, I'd say go for it. Run for it.
Well, I guess what I'm thinking of is we're blessed here in this church.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are.
Because we have learned a good deal about the Holy Ghost, and I'm sure there's more mm-hmm. to learn. But I'm thinking overall, the body of Christ, universal, there is a lack of knowledge. And yes. So when there's a lack of knowledge, you just kind of bumble along, hoping that you're protected and hoping that you'll succeed, and, you know, and there's so much.
Well, that's why we are praying for a great awakening to come upon the earth. Because the body is Christ, we get lulled to sleep. We get lulled to sleep. We get so busy. Busy, 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 busy. When you talk to somebody and you say, how you doing? What is the response you get most of the time? I'm really busy. And I tell you, we have to see that that is a real tactic of the enemy. Because when you get busy, you get distracted. And you get your mind set on something else. And then you are hearing your problems talk to you more than you're hearing the Holy Ghost speak to you. But one thing that I'm just rejoicing about, and I mentioned Dutch Sheets, and I just mentioned it to you again. He says, and I've heard another couple other people, and I know that it's on Twitter, and the reason I follow Twitter is just to keep up with some of these godly men and women. And he said that the awakening has begun. Now, he's not giving any details. I really need to probably try to listen to some of his messages on YouTube. But he says the awakening has begun. And, you know, and then I wasn't going to share this little comment, but it keeps coming back to me, so I will. And this is encouraging where Operation School Guard is concerned. We have a grandson that's 13 years old. He'll be 14 in November. And he goes to Christiansburg Middle School. And there's somebody praying for, I think Alta Caldwell has Christiansburg Middle School. There's somebody praying for Christiansburg Middle School. And we spent a little bit of time with him Thursday evening. And his G-Daddy took him to school Friday morning. And Caleb was asking about the all downtown here, how everything's all torn up. Why was that happening? And his G-Daddy was telling him about certain things that was happening and had created those problems and this and that. And Caleb was listening. And Then G-Daddy said to him, he said, well, Caleb, he said, when you're 60 years old, he said, you'll have a grandchild that will be asking you these kind of questions and you'll be able to share with them. And I want to tell you what Caleb's answer was. He said, G-Daddy, I won't see 60 years old. Because he said, Jesus is going to come before then. That was not an accident that he said that. Because this is a child that is in a Christian home, but he does not go to church every Sunday. Doesn't been in Sunday school. Hasn't been taught a whole lot. He can't find his way through the Bible. But he could say that out of the mouth of babes. And I believe when Dusty said that to me, I said, wow, that's profound. And I hesitate sharing it because it's my grandson. If it had been another child, you understand me. If it had been another child, it would have been the same thing. But God just let me hear that. And it's like he said, your prayers are working for the children. So when you pray for the kids and you pray the scripture prayers and you pray in the spirit over them, you see what God's doing in these kids? I mean, he's looking for Jesus. He's 13 years old. He's looking for Jesus. And I think, dear Lord. But you know what? There's plenty of kids that's happening to. We just don't know about it. Because in the end times, what has God said? They're going to be my secret weapon. I'm going to use them. And you know what? When kids start looking for Jesus, anyway, I'll just leave it at that. So, you know what? We'll be encouraged that great awakening is coming. And Judy, when that great awakening is poured out, you know what? We're going to know. I mean, it's going to be a supernatural increase about Jesus, the Father God, the Holy Ghost, the Word of God. You know, people getting saved. I mean, Dutch Sheets says that the awakening has started and there will be billions saved.